In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the most fun seasons of the church year is the season of Epiphany that we are living now. It's a season of discovery as week by week, reading by reading, Jesus is revealed bit by bit and the pieces fall into places. And I'm sure that you have heard these Bible stories before. But I would like to invite you, just for now, imagine that you haven't. Imagine that you are hearing about Jesus for the first time. So far, you have heard about his baptism. You have heard that he is the Son of God and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know a little bit about who he is, but you know next to nothing about what he does and who he does it for. Then you get to today's gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4. And now he does things. He withdraws to Galilee, also known as Galilee of the Gentiles, the further away from Jerusalem, the less exclusive, the real estate. And Jesus immediately begins to show that he is the Messiah for all peoples. And he also begins to gather disciples because he will be sending them out to spread the gospel. Then he goes throughout Galilee, teaching in synagogues, wherever he goes. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, and along with preaching, he heals every disease and every affliction among the people. Take your pick. Diseases, pains, demon oppression, seizures, paralysis, whatever. He gets rid of it all without breaking a sweat. He speaks, and all these afflictions flee. And of course, the word spreads and the crowds gather. Again, it's not just his fellow Jews from Galilee, Jerusalem, and Judea, but it's also Gentiles from Galilee, Syria, and beyond the Jordan. Oh, and we also have the context of his sermons summarized for us. Wherever he goes, the main point of the message is repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And please don't mistake that for anything but good news. This is not a message meaning you'd better behave before God has to get out of his chair and come downstairs. No. It's far better than that. Repent. Remember that repentance basically means a change of mind. When Jesus says repent, it's far more than stop sinning and you better be sorry. Instead, it's more like stop believing what is false. And start believing what is true. Or stop believing that you have no choice but to die in your sin. And start believing that I have come to give life. Or even stop believing that you are doomed. And start believing that God has salvation for you. And why does God have salvation for you? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why is the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Because the King of heaven is there. And this is a different sort of kingdom. For example, if you want the kingdom of Saudi Arabia to be at hand, you've got to go to the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. It's not going to come to you. But the kingdom of heaven is different. It's not of this world. This kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is where the king is. And in our reading, the king of heaven is wandering around Galilee. And whatever he wanders, he brings a little bit of heaven with him. As a result, there are miracles. There is no sickness or pain allowed in heaven. So the king gets rid of it wherever he goes. Demons in heaven? Not allowed. So the king makes them run away. Paralysis and other disabilities? Look, the rule in heaven is that no stretchers, wheelchairs, walkers, crutches, or canes are allowed. That doesn't mean that the king won't let such people into this kingdom. Instead, it means that he will heal them so that they don't need stretchers, wheelchairs, walkers, crutches, or canes anymore. And this is another difference about the kingdom of heaven. Think of a state visit between kingdoms or nations of the world today. When the guest dignitaries arrive, they have certain expectations of how they will be treated with many luxuries. The hosts, for their part, want to make the best impression possible, and so they work to show their guests the best part of their country, even while they try to hide the country's problems. Someone very important meets the guests as they get off the plane. Not the deceased guy in a wheelchair. And the route from the airport to palace avoids the slums in favor of the nice parts of town. The kingdom of heaven is different. Wherever the king of heaven goes, he goes. Wherever the king of heaven goes, he goes as one who expects to serve, not be served. Wherever he goes, the hosts don't hide their problems. They bring them all out to him. In response, he doesn't object to their shabby treatment, but he makes their lives better. Even as he frees them from various troubles so that they can better serve in the kingdom of Galilee, he also welcomes them into the kingdom of heaven. All of this work in the service of others is a foreshadowing of what the king has ultimately come to do. He has come to serve the world by defeating sin and death for all. When the king does so, he will be wearing a crown, but will be a crown of thorns. And he will be enthroned, but he will be enthroned on a cross. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king of heaven has come to save from sin, death, and all the curse in between. And I don't know if you will hear a more joyful sermon on this side of heaven. But what is the difference between then and now? One obvious difference is that we don't see so many miracles in our present day, right? The sins and afflictions are still there, and so here at Faith Lutheran, we welcome the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those having seizures, those who suffer from paralysis, and more. Just like yesterday with our respite care ministry, welcoming those with special needs and their families. But we cannot heal them on the spot like Jesus did. And unfortunately, this has led many to conclude that the church has lost something along the way. That if we really had the Holy Spirit and we really had Jesus, we would still be able to heal people of such afflictions. But we needed to note another difference to understand that. Just like we don't see many miracles like those done by Jesus in our gospel reading, we also don't see Jesus either like the people saw in our gospel reading. Jesus has lived. He has died. He is risen again and ascended into heaven, and he will come back in glory to judge the living and the dead. But along with that, here's a joy that you know. Just because Jesus is coming back in glory on the last day doesn't mean that he is not here now. The King still comes and dwells among his people, not visibly, not gloriously, but unseen, and still fully God and man in his means of grace, his word and sacrifice. And what does the King do in these means of grace? He forgives sins. He forgives sins. And by that forgiveness, the King opens his kingdom for you. If his kingdom is open to you, then heaven is yours. And when you go to heaven, there will be no more disease, pains, demon oppressions, or anything else. They are not allowed. But in Christ, you are. During Jesus' public ministry, as in our gospel reading, he performed miracles for three reasons. One was to fulfill prophecy. Another was to give a little foretaste of heaven when all of his people are delivered fully from the curse of sin. And the third reason was to demonstrate that Jesus has power to do a far greater thing than heal a paralytic or cast out demons. Jesus has the power to forgive sins. And that's what gets you into the kingdom of heaven. Never forget that forgiveness is the greatest miracle of all. Forgiveness is the greatest miracle of all. And only Jesus could accomplish that for us. Because it is great, is the greatest miracle of all, because with it comes all the other miracles. In God's time, of course. The Lord can work any miracle whenever he wants, and he still does today. There are people in this congregation who are still alive and with us because of God's miraculous intervention. But even though Jesus has already conquered deliverance from all your afflictions, normally you will not see that deliverance until you see your Savior in glory. In the meantime, you will be tested by impatience and discomfort. You will want the Lord to work a wonder right away because your short time in this world, it's too long to wait. The Lord may grant it, or he may not. But do not let your impatience and discomfort turn into anger or doubt of his promises. Instead, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What Jesus declared then is still true today. Turn from sin and doubt, and turn to the Savior who is present for you. The devil and others will try to whisper doubts in your ear, saying, well, if Jesus is with you, then where are your miracles? There is no need to doubt or be sad or ashamed. You have good things to say. You point to the font and say, miracles happen there. Because that's where Jesus joined me to his death and resurrection. Join me to his defeat of you, Satan. That's where he gave me eternal life and eternal healing. And I'm looking forward to seeing that with my own eyes one day. Then you point to the lectern and the pulpit and you say, and that's where I hear God's wonder-working word. The same word that created all things. The same word that raises the dead. Here, through the mouth of another, God speaks that word to me to cleanse me of sin and declare me righteous. Then you point to the altar and say, and what a miracle there. The king comes undercover and with and under the bread and wine, he gives me his own body and blood for everlasting life. And just so you know, by the time you finish saying these things, you are probably only talking to yourself. Because the devil has long since run away. He can't stand God's word and his promises. Brothers and sisters, the big point is this. These are the greatest miracles. For this is how the king comes to you. Do not lose heart. Do not grow impatient, and do not forsake the promises of God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is at hand because the king is at hand. And because you are forgiven in his name, all the rest of those miracles are yours too. On the last day, if not before. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.